Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll continue our subject study. It's a subject study through the book of Proverbs. But I tell you what, I've enjoyed it. I hope you have. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope the Lord has blessed you with it. We've covered a variety of subjects. If you've missed any of them, every one of them, if you got a computer's on sermon audio, you can get every one of them off there. So you go back and listen to any of the ones that you missed, okay? Now, tonight is going to be in Proverbs 10, and we want to read the verse 7, and that will be the only verse that we'll cover as far as it will be our text, actually. We'll be looking at other verses, but this will be our text. Notice what it says, The memory of the just is blessed. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, we're going to give this a title, kind of a title you should be able to remember. We're going to entitle it Precious Memories. Precious memories. Really, the focus of the text is on the memories. You see where it uses the term memory? The focus of the text is on the memory of the just. Did you notice it said that? It's on the memory of the just. So this would no doubt refer to people that in their life were saved and had served the Lord, and they have left behind their what? Somebody tell me. Memory. They've left behind their memory. They've went on to be with the Lord, but you leave behind a memory. And here this text says that the memory of the just is blessed. So there's a contrast between the just and the wicked. And you know what? There's really only two categories of people. In the whole wide, wide world, you can divide the whole world under two categories, and that is those that are just and those who are wicked. And you know what? The old sinner don't like to be called wicked. There's not nobody in the world likes to be called wicked. And a lot of times people say, well, wait a minute here. I'm not a drunkard or I'm not this. But if you've never trusted Christ in His eyes, you're wicked and you're still a sinner. And you need to be. So you might be a good provider. You might be a good neighbor. You might be a good helper. You might be good to poor folk. You might have a lot of good deeds about you. But if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not just. And in the eyes of the Lord, you're wicked. And you don't want to die there. There needs to be a category change to where you go from being wicked to being what? Somebody tell me. Just. Well, here it says the memory, the very memory of the just is blessed. I'm going to ask you some questions for you to think about. Number one, how will you be remembered? How will you be remembered? I want to leave behind a good memory for folk, don't you, to remember. And so would you. How will you be remembered? That's what this is referring to. What will be your legacy? What will be your legacy spiritually? What will be your legacy spiritually? And number three, here's the third question. What will your family and your friends' thoughts be when they hear of your passing? Let me say it one more time. What will your family and friends' thoughts be when they hear of your passing? So those are three thoughts to ponder in this message entitled Precious Memories. Now it says, let's notice first of all, the memories of the just are blessed. The memories of the just are blessed. And we notice in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, there's examples of men of God that's been dead for 2,000 years, all the way back to probably 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, that have been gone from this earth that long. But yet, at the same time, they have left behind a memory that really continues, actually, continues to influence folk all the way down till today. Can you imagine such a thing as that? Let's talk about some of them. We'll notice some biblical examples of the memories of the just. I'm just going to mention them. I will turn you to them just for sake of time. Number one, Enoch, or Enoch. Some pronounce it Enoch, some pronounce it Enoch. He doesn't receive a whole lot of ink in God's Word. In the book of Galatians 5, you can read a bit about him. It's not real long, just a few verses. But you know what those verses say? Enoch walked with God. That is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous legacy to leave behind. You want to know something tonight? If you're here tonight and saved, you have a great privilege. You know what that privilege is? To live a life where you walk with God. Him and God, Enoch and God, were tight. Think about it. That means he spent a lot of time with him. That means the focus of Enoch's life was the Lord. And when it came time, the Lord just took him on home. He didn't experience physical death. He said that just God just took him. And he was not. You didn't find a body nowhere. You couldn't find anything left by him. All you could find that he was gone. Where's he at? The Lord took him off to be with him. And the New Testament says in Hebrews 11 that he had the testimony that he pleased God. Whew. Y'all think that's a good legacy? Yeah, the memory of the just is blessed, and Enoch certainly is an example of that. How about Moses? Man, I look at some of these old saints of God. You look at Moses. You talk about a beautiful, beautiful testimony for a man. Not only did Enoch have a good testimony, here's what the Lord said about it. It said, the Lord spoke to Moses. Here, listen to this now. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. Now, that chills me to the bone. Now, you talk about close to the Lord. I tell you what, his sister put the mouth on Moses one day. And you know what the Lord did? He struck her with leprosy. He put her with, and I tell you what, and what did Moses, true to the way that he was the meekest man on earth in his day. He prayed for her. And boy, I tell you what, she had to stay outside the camp for a while. And one of the things that he said, if I speak to a prophet, I'll speak to him through a vision or a dream. But my servant Moses is not so. Him, I'll speak to face to face. Oh, God's people say. I tell you, he had a close walk with the Lord. And we're talking about Moses all the way down to Bancroft today. Because these men left behind a legacy of being close to God, of having walked with God. Don't you covet that? I'm telling you, don't you covet that? Daniel, the man of God, went into captivity when he was a young man and lived through the Babylonian Empire all the way down to the Persian Empire. And he served the Lord all his days. All his days he served the Lord and was a faithful and a godly man. Even he thought so much of prayer that he would rather than, I'd have probably missed that prayer meeting or hid. He prayed in the morning and he prayed at noon and evening. That was his habit of his lifestyle. He did it every day. And he would go home from his visit he was a great official in the Persian Empire. He'd go home and he'd open up his window and he would pray to the God of Israel facing Jerusalem. He knew that one of these days the children of Israel in 70 years would be sent back. He prayed and he prayed earnestly. And when they made it against the law to pray, you know what he did? He prayed anyhow. When they make laws that goes against the Word of God, God's people obey God's Word first. Remember that, because it's probably going to come to that again. And I say, one of the things that's going to do is get rid of a lot of fence straddlers. And I don't mind getting rid of fence straddlers. One thing that'll do is make God's people have a little backbone to them, which they've lost. I don't want to go down that path. But you see what I'm going to say. You see where I'm coming from. I get sick of it. These were men that left behind tremendous legacy. How about old Stephen? You read about him in the book of Acts chapter 7. And I tell you, he went to a debate with the Sanhedrin and whipped them. And probably one of those was on that Sanhedrin council that day was Saul of Tarsus. I mean, you talk about they were unable to say anything against what he said, and they hated him for it. Stephen was faithful even unto death. Put the scripture in the book of the Revelations, the Smyrna church, here's what the Lord told him. Be thou faithful unto what? I can't even get a grasp on that. We can't even get people faithful even when death ain't involved. When you really think about it, I feel ashamed when I look at these people, don't you? These were normal people. They had eyes and legs and blood in them just like you did. But boy, they had a strong courage in the things of the Lord because the Lord made them that way. Stephen in Acts chapter 7 gave the Sanhedrin council a lesson in Old Testament scripture. I mean, you talk about a whipping, they got it. He went and he worked his way down and he taught them the scriptures. And they couldn't withstand the spirit by which he spake. He was such, the Holy Spirit was all over him. He spoke the truth. And after he was done speaking, it says they gnashed upon him with their teeth. And these religious men took their cloaks off and they laid all their garments down beside a young man by the name of Saul, who was also a member of the Sanhedrin Council. And they put that man of God there, and they rocked him, and they rocked him until he expired. What a way to go, to be rocked to death. He did. And you know, he didn't go crying or carrying on in a bad way or anything like that. His faith was firm to the end, and he said, I see Jesus. That's what he said. Remember? Standing. You know, every time you see Jesus in the New Testament, and he's in heaven, he's seated. He said, I see Jesus standing. Because guess where we're getting ready to come home? I think the first person you see when you go to glory is Jesus. I think it's the first person you see. These men left behind a tremendous legacy. We draw strength from it, joy from it, all the way down to the day. When I read about these men, I'm like, my. I want to have just a small kind of legacy to leave behind. Now, why do you want to leave it behind? So people can brag on you? No, for the glory of the Lord. So you can still be influencing. Hear me now. So that you can still be influencing even after you're gone. So you can still be having an impact even after you're gone. All God's people said. You see where I'm coming from? All right. So the memories of the just are blessed memories. Now I want to tell you a little something now. I'm going to go real long on this. To have a memory of the just, you first must be just. You got to be in the category from being wicked. You need to go into the category of being just. The idea of the word just is to be justified. It means to be declared righteous. It's to have your sins charged to Jesus and to have His righteousness charged to you. I think it's a stench in the nostrils of the Lord for someone to try to save themselves by their deeds. I don't think there's anything any more offensive to God than that. I think the old devil uses that as a means to deceive people right into the pits of hell. I think the only way that you can have a righteous, just standing with God is to be in Christ. And the only way you can get in, access in, has always been by faith. You know, the Old Testament saints had to be justified the same as the New Testament saints. They had to be justified by the same, cleansed by the same blood, have the same righteousness. The same righteousness and blood that cleansed you and the same righteousness that charged to you was the same blood that cleansed Moses and Noah and Enoch, and the same righteousness that was charged to them. I don't got time to go into depth with that. I don't need to here. I don't need to here. I really don't. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you'll go into the book of Revelations later on, and when it shows you all the saints of heaven in Revelations chapter 7, and when you go over to Revelations 19 and you see Jesus coming out of heaven on a white horse with all His armies following behind Him as He's getting ready to set up His kingdom in earth, I know one thing you'll see. Every one of them has on white robes. And there's only one way you can get a white robe, and that's to have Jesus' righteousness charged to your account. Somebody say amen. That's the only way you can. So that means everybody in heaven got there the same way. Everybody did. Moses got there that way. Elijah, all the whole tribe got there that way. They were just. The Romans says He's the just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. He's just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. So, to have a blessed memory, to have the memory of the just, then you first must be what? You first must be just. Now, I'm going to show you a little something. I hesitate to do this because I don't want to spend a lot of time, but I do want to show you something. Those that are just not only have imputed righteousness, but they also have imparted righteousness. What I'm trying to say is those that have trusted Jesus and have been justified, they also seek to live righteous. You don't have anybody that truly gets justified that don't seek to live righteous. You say, well, that's works for salvation. No, it's not. It's works because of salvation. Altogether different. I'm not working to get saved, nor am I working to keep saved. I'm saved. But I'll tell you why I am working. I'm working. I want to work till every ounce of breath leaves my body. And when I get to where I can't work, I'll pray till every ounce of breath goes out of this body. You say, are you doing that to get? No, I'm not. Don't have a thing to do with me being. Don't have a thing to do with me trying to save myself. It's because I love my Savior and I want to please Him. I have the sincere desire in my heart to please Jesus. And if you're trying to do your good deeds to be saved by your good deeds, that's a dishonor to Jesus. And there ain't nothing but filthy rags if that's what you're trying to do. And there's church houses full of folk that way. Because that's what they hear in the pulpit. To have His kingdom, you have to have His righteousness. That's just how it is. Doesn't it make sense if there was one true way to heaven that the devil will come through with 100 different ways? I hear it all the time. With it. They're on the road here and the Muslims is on the road here. Yeah, they throw the Muslims in there now. And this here on the road, all these different roads. Oh, those roads lead to glory. No, they don't. There's one road that leads to glory. That's the narrow road. And that narrow road's all Jesus and all His righteousness. And any other road is a false message. And a false gospel. Those that are righteous, those that have been declared righteous, those that are justified, seek to live righteous. In the book of 1 John, when it gives the characteristics of the new birth, one of those characteristics is they seek to live righteous. I'm going to show you this anyhow. I don't want to. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. Go ahead and go to Revelation 19. Now, I wouldn't know this point for the house. Good to have a staff. Good to have a dean on staff when you pastor. Revelation 19. I'm going to explain this to you. I want you to get this. This is important. I was one time I had somebody read a text for me in Sunday school. Man, I like the King James. I do. That's my favorite Bible. This is my favorite translation. But there's another translation. The person I asked to read it out of another translation, which blew me away. And they read Revelations 19 and verse 8. Y'all want to read it with me? Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be, talking about the bride, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, sir, that robe. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Everybody see that? So the fine linen is a picture of the righteousness of the saints, which is whose righteousness? Christ. Now, in the translation she read at 11, there are several of the new versions that does it. It says righteous acts of the saints. So she read that, and I was like, you obviously, are you in the wrong spot? I mean, I didn't know. I thought, that's not what I got here. But the new translation translated it, righteous acts of the saints. Well, I did what any good pastor do. You call your dean. I said, what's up with that? Why is the translation putting righteous acts in there? Now, he looked it up, and it's because it's plural. It's because it's plural. It's righteousnesses. That's what it is. It's plural. It's righteousnesses. Have you ever heard it in the plural before? Now, stay with me a little bit now. Have you ever heard it in the plural before? You have. If you'll think just for a little bit. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousnesses is as filthy rags. It's plural. It's also plural there. And so what in the world does it mean? Well, God's people have righteousnesses. Isn't that deep? When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you have His righteousness imputed to your account. That's saving righteousness. But those that have been justified, what else do they have? You're going to see them practicing righteousness too. That's why it's plural. You don't have someone justified that don't seek to live righteous. That's why it's plural. So salvation by works? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's called imputed righteousness. It's righteousness got the other. The doing righteous is imparted righteousness. And the Holy Spirit, after you're born again, the Holy Spirit takes up abode in your heart. Larry Eccles, and He starts work on you. You're like we're just like a big thing of clay, and He starts to work on you. And He's molding you into the image of who? You know what we call that? It's called progressive sanctification. He works on you. I mean, when the Lord justifies you and you by faith trust Him, that's because you've had a new birth. And the moment you trust Him, He gives you His righteousness. Well, does He give you His righteousness and you run out here and don't change and have your fill of sin? And no, you don't. You have a desire, as the Scripture says, old things pass away, all things become new. You don't have someone to get justified that don't have a desire to live righteous. So, righteousnesses of the saints. You're saved by the righteousness of Christ. But those that serve the Lord, those that know the Lord, and those that have been justified, they seek to live righteous. They seek to live holy, righteously, and godly in this world. Now listen to me. Are they doing that to keep Satan? No. They ain't doing it to keep saved. Are they doing it to get saved? No. Listen to me. They're doing it because they want to please Jesus because of what they've done for them. They're doing it because they put the Holy Spirit. You know, the day He saved you, He put the Holy Spirit in you. And you know, with the Holy Spirit in you, that's going to change you. You got a new nature. You still live in the flesh body, but you got a new nature. They're always fighting with one another. But we also got the Holy Spirit in us. And He begins to work, Coy, He begins to work inside of us. And then we grow. Aren't you glad? Then we grow. Then we grow. And sin bothers you then after that. Y'all notice that after you got born again? It bothered you. Grieved you. And that's what the new birth does. So that's the reason why it's righteousnesses. Those that have been justified are also going to seek to live righteous because they love the Lord. Okay? Will they drift sometimes? Yeah, I can show you examples of that in Scripture. Will they be perfect? Not in this world, not as long as they're living in that thing you're living in. But they will be changed. And there will be a desire to live righteous. The memories of the just are blessed. The memories of the just are blessed. Okay? And along with that justification they got at salvation, then they seek to do what again? What I tell you? They seek to live righteous. And that living righteous is the legacy that you leave behind. That you trusted Jesus. Don't you want to leave that behind? Don't you want the preacher to be able to stand before your dead body up here and say, listen, this person trusted Jesus. And then don't you want me to also be able to say, and they served Jesus too. They served Him. This was a faithful child of God. And they served Him. All God's people said. Person has a profession and all their days never served the Lord, or had a desire to serve the Lord, or had a desire to man the Lord, it's a hard service to do. You want to leave behind a good memory. People need to see that consistency in your life. Because not only what you say and what you say are influences, but also how you live also influences. All God's people say it. Very important. What kind of memory are you going to have? Now let me say some more things. You got anybody? I still got your attention. Remember, this message is entitled Precious Memories. We looked at examples of the Old Testament, some of them. We showed that those who have a blessed memory are the just. And we showed that the just are those who are trusted in Christ and they have Christ's imputed righteousness, but they also seek to live righteous. They also seek to live righteous. They have a desire to please the Lord. They're not going to get saved. They would never, they know Jesus paid it all. But they want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Y'all remember in poor brother Zacchaeus, don't you? He was a rotten old depraved sinner. Man, he stole from his own people. If he lived in Bancroft, we'd want to hang him. Because he collected taxes for a invading empire by the name of Rome. And he gave him a certain amount of taxes to collect, and he collected too much, and he stole from his own people. People would have hated him. But Jesus went to his house one day. And I'll probably tell you one thing. He got saved while he was there. The text in Luke 19 doesn't tell you what all Jesus told him, but I guarantee he told him about how to be saved. All it tells us is this. Towards the end of Jesus' supper there, he says, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. And I can't remember the number, whether it's 4 or 5. I'm going to say 4. And he said, if I've stolen anything by false accusation, which he had, I've restored it 4-fold or 5-fold. I can't remember what fold it was, but it's 4 or 5-fold. Means if he sold $20, he returned $100 to people. There, Eccles, that means that if he, when he walked around, he'll get you a badge. He'd go knock on somebody's door and they went, it's Zacchaeus. Don't answer it. He's after money. Wipe Pete through the curtain. And then you open that door up. Say, Jeff, I stole $100 from you. Here's $400 back. So what got into Zacchaeus? Does anybody know what got into Zacchaeus? Lord saved him. Lord saved him. Half his goods he gives. You imagine he going down to the poor shelter? There he comes. That heathen. Here you go. Here's $100,000 to put in. Take care of the poor. Did that save Zacchaeus? No, but that was the fruit. You remember when he told Jesus that, what Jesus said? This day, salvation has come to this house. Those that get justified evidence it by living. And you see it in the life of, you see that Jacob, you see that in the life of Zacchaeus. How can I say this? Nice. There's too many people, I don't want to say, I'm going to say it anyhow. There's too many people that say Baptist believe they go out here and sin all they want to. You agree, Hollis? We don't believe that. That's an absolute lie. Amen. Come over and sit in the, come over here and sit in the pulpit and see. I'm sitting, don't sit in the pulpit. Sit in your seat and see if that's what you hear here. We teach that salvation is indeed eternal when it's real. And it lasts. And He keeps you. But I'm going to tell you something else that we believe. We believe that also the conversion changes you. That's what I watch for. And the problem is many have went for years with not teaching that balance. They teach imputed, but not imparted righteousness. They fail to mention that. Okay? The memories of the just are blessed. Let me go ahead and say this, and those who have a blessed memory, the saints that have a blessed memory, here's a little something I want to give you. Are you listening? They have a blessed now, too. Those who have left behind the blessed memory, they also have a blessed now, too. I'm going to tell you another time, one more time. when a person dies, that's all that matters is whether or not they knew Christ, isn't it? The greatest thing you can leave behind for your family is not a car or a bank account. What will comfort your family on the day that you die is whether or not you had victory over death, whether or not you knew Jesus, whether or not you have a home with Him, whether or not you're there with Him then, that's what comforts. You understand what I mean? That's all that matters on that day. Those who have a blessed memory also have a blessed now. Revelation 4 said, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." You know what the word blessed means in Revelation 14? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. You know what the word blessed means? Happy. So, well, Jeff, how's my loved one today? Happy. And I dare tell you another little thing about that. Happier now than ever. There's no way that in this world you can obtain the happiness that they have there because it's eternal happiness. My happy meter does this. It does. Their happy meter is like this. It's as high as it can go, and it's as it's the greatest joy there ever has been or ever will. We won't know it till we get there. So they have a happy, they have a blessed now too. These ain't words, all of them ain't words, but here's, I wrote these down and it ends with less. They're sinless. They're sinless. Look, Hebrews says, the spirits of just men made perfect. My spirit's hindered with my flesh body, but when my spirit, when I, if I die tonight, and bury me in this suit, would you? If I die tonight, my spirit would leave. My spirit would leave my body. And as soon as that spirit leaves this body, guess what it is? Somebody tell me. It's perfect. The spirits of just men made perfect. Our people that's in heaven tonight are there in spirit. But you know what they are? They're perfect. Now, they're going to get a perfect body birth later on. But their spirits are perfect now. Boy, that's pretty cool, isn't it? They're perfect. They're sinless. Let me tell you something else they are. They're sadless. Is that a word? It is now. They're sadless. They're not sad. Do you ever not? Are you sad? Do you ever experience sadness? Do you ever mourn because you're sad? People do that here. But the people in glory are never sad. Can you get a grip on that? They're never sad. There's a text in Psalm 16 and says this, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Psalm 16:11. So our people at thy right hand are joys forevermore. So not only are they sinless, but they're sadless. They're as happy as can be. I guarantee they're happier than we are. Because it's a continual thing. So, they're sinless and they're sadless. Can I tell you one more thing? They're also sickless. They ain't sick. We read that in the book of Isaiah 33. It says, the inhabitant of that land will never say that they are sick. As a matter of fact, when they died, they were healed from all sickness. You know what we don't consider? We don't consider death a healing, but for God's people it is. It ends it. They leave behind this body, they leave behind the sickness along with it, and they go out free, 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 never to be sick again. You believe it? Never to be sick again. I was in hospice with Uncle Neely, and I was back there with him, and I was just praying, said, "Lord, please, just take him on home. Take him on home." I had a good nurse, and I was just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And then I realized, you know, it was on us, you know. And I didn't go for anybody because I didn't want to alarm anybody. So I got before the nurse, and she come in, and she checked him. You know what she said? "Oh, thank you, Jesus." That's what she said. I just hugged her. "Thank you, Jesus," she said. Y'all think it's fitting? It's fitting for Neely, wasn't it? He knew the Lord, and soon as that sickness was immediately done. I just can't imagine what that feeling would be like. There you're sick, and you're sick at your stomach, and you're hurting, and all these there. And all of a sudden, Brother Coy, it's gone. But you know how long it's going for? It's going forever. I might get sick and I get better, but eventually I'm going to get sick again, ain't it, Jack? Not for them, man. They'll never, ever, ever, never be sick again. And they're not only do they have a blessed memory, but they have a blessed name.